things, guys. Then we're going to pray. We won't attempt to get through all the material this morning. It was great to hear from you, Sue, to get that story and to just imagine the impact it has on you. I know that my visits to Zimbabwe, you never get over that thing about people. I don't know whether you heard the stats this week of the number of girls in high school in South Africa who are HIV positive. What was the percentage?
6%.
Yeah, quarter of girls in school are HIV positive. And the problem, of course, antiretrovirals are making a huge impact here. And alongside that, you've got the story of the little baby in the States who's showing it cured. Fantastic. And then there are places in which, as people's lifestyles are changing, it's getting pushed back. There are places where you can see the impact of AIDS, where if you look at satellite pictures, where the jungle is actually moving back, where the bush is moving back, because there aren't people around to cultivate it. So you hear the story of Zimbabwe, and then I think I'm going to try and follow this. We're talking about Delhi, and the thing becomes totally overwhelming. What we just have to do is to say, well, God, you're giving us this at the moment. Give us bigger hearts, more people, more financial capacity, so that we can reach on. It's very, very evident that that something happens in Dayspring that I don't think happens in quite the same way in other churches. Years and years and years ago, so many years that probably Andrew Cannings and I would prefer not to remember, Andrew brought a word which was about sowing. Well, I can't remember what were the actual vegetables or things you mentioned. Yeah, something like sowing olives, getting wheat. And you can't help think that's what's happening is we've been focusing in on prayer. We've been praying for more people. We've been praying for finance for Open Blue. And we're seeing healings. And we're seeing awards. Now, this does tend to make you a little bit cross. Nonetheless, God is a good God. If you get opportunity, do join us for prayer tonight. This afternoon we've got Messy Church, yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah. And we also want to pray for Ruth, who, as you know, is getting a pattern at the moment of being not so well and then getting a little bit better and not so well again. So we do need to pray that God will be with her and encourage her. We're going to get into some of this stuff based on the work you did a few weeks ago. I want to report back to you, I want to tell you about some of the feedback we've had, and then I want to get as far today as talking about possible causes of delay in answer to prayer, and we'll stop there, and then we'll push on next week. And I'd like us to finish with coming back to that song, Mighty to Save, to just stir ourselves up and encourage us. But before we do that, let's just find a good place before the Lord. Just be steady and relaxed. Be aware of his presence. As I was praying about this morning, I was really quite conscious of the fact that that Jesus was going to be here this morning, and that God the Father was, his eye was over us and in Zimbabwe and with Pastor Naveem and there in Prague as well, with Jana's parents, with my parents too, with Ruth, with Rolf and Karen, who are both encouraged and a little bit anxious. So, Father God, we thank you that you've got the whole picture. You know what's going on. Jesus, we're so glad that you're here this morning. Your presence is real, that you've said you're with us always, even to the end of the age. You've said you'll never leave us nor forsake us. Lord Jesus, you're here meeting needs. Thank you that you've been around healing people. There are other needs we've got as well. Bring them to you. Father, thank you that you're the friend who sticks closer than a brother. You're there to support us, to protect us. And Holy Spirit, we'd like to know what you're doing this morning, where you're moving, where you're blowing, who you're touching, where the encouragements are coming, where people are being reassured. Holy Spirit, just move, flow, touch, like you've been doing since the beginning of creation. And for Ruth, we pray. For Danielle, Lord, we're looking for a testimony there. Messy church this afternoon. Father, we pray. Father, Father, Father. We're looking for you to do things. Lord, we praise you hugely for this story and this lady. Don't want to be disparaging about the award, but that's got to be better than the award. The fact there's somebody whose life is touched. We can prove it. We think of all the people who don't get round to telling us the story. So help us as we get into what we're going to try and do today. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Now, you know that all the feedback from the learning wall from a couple of weeks is actually on the website. What I've got here is what I think is the cluster of questions that were the most obvious and intense. I'd be really grateful if you can hang on to these papers for next week as well. You might want to try and have a little think and write some comments about them for yourself. When you've taken them, pass some back. Need some more here. Okay. Just keep them there. Put one eye on them. Shove them back as well. Over here. Could you do the honours, please? Thanks. There are not very many in there, but there should be plenty for everybody if you can just move them around. Two things that that I think we're going to be working with this morning, and I want us to keep very much in mind, is the fact that understanding this whole thing about prayer, and particularly the areas we're going to be in, is first of all the issue of love and God's love for us, and the second is faith. Okay? Now, we can't get away from either of those concepts. They're the big ones. And I think what we need is a predisposition to understand that God is loving. Now, I want to take you back to that, not Victorian, but early 20th century picture I use as my ultimate reference about Jesus. When I think about God, I think of Jesus, and I think of Jesus with all the children around him. Now, I don't know what your image of God is, but a healthy image of God will focus on Jesus. Anything that we believe about God which is not like Jesus is wrong, because Jesus was the complete manifestation of what God was like, if you look at the beginning of Hebrews. So all these pictures of an angry, vengeful God waiting to trip people up, what's happened there is there's a bit of misinterpretation, because Jesus wasn't like that. The only people Jesus got really cross with were politicians and religious people. Yeah? So if you're feeling political or if you're feeling religious, then possibly you might feel a little antagonism from Jesus. But otherwise, that's not what we're going to get. So that's really important. And the other thing is, without faith, it is impossible to actually please God. Faith is something that we have to keep coming back to, keep on thinking about, that will be pegged into what we've got to do in various ways. Now, what I'd like to do is this. Okay. Ah. Obviously, we've gone too cheap in buying our pads. These ones are not perforated across the top. Didn't realise. So, okay, love and faith concepts. Now, here's the first brainstorming exercise this morning. We'll do it all together because we haven't got time to split it out. But I want us to identify stories, Bible stories, which are about which involve prayers being answered, and to think in terms of those that are answered more quickly and those that are answered more slowly. Okay, now watch it. Be careful about including healing stories in this unless you've got evidence that prayer was going on. It's something we're not going to get into, but we were never told to pray for the sick. We were told to heal the sick. So let's exclude that sort of doubtful area. But let's do some brainstorming. Let's have two people writing up. So you can throw up a story which you think is has got some useful prayer answering material in it. And then we might have to have a little discussion about which side you want to put it on. Michelle, I don't know what your writing's like, but could you take the blue board over here? Ian, do us a favour and come up to that one, please, would you?
The guarantee is that no one will be able to read it.
Yeah, we're only going to do a page full of each, okay? Stories about answers to prayer in the Bible, which were quicker or slower.
Praying for them to be released from prison.
Which one?
Peter.
And they were really surprised because Peter
in prison. That's a story. If you don't know the story, there was a young woman called Rhoda. They were so busy praying praying for Peter to be released, that when he went and knocked on the door, they said, as she said, there's Peter at the door. They said, no, come back here and pray for Peter to be released. He can't be. So, yeah. So that was a quick one. Any
Samson praying for vengeance.
Sorry?
Samson praying for vengeance on the Philistines.
Yeah, that was a fairly quick one. Yeah, wasn't it? Samson.
The one where it was delayed by...
Okay, Daniel praying for insight. That's in Daniel 10, yeah?
Possibly Abraham and Sarah.
Abraham and Sarah, yeah. Right. That's probably one of the very long lead times.
The guy who's bad
for
the Paul was preaching
and died. So that was... Did Paul go and pray for him or did he heal him? What did he do there? Let's say, we'll assume that he prayed for him there. So, that's Eutychus. That's all you need to write, just Eutychus. Yeah. What else? Yeah, Eli praying for Hannah. Where would you say? Is that quicker or slower? That was a year, but she'd been praying for ages, hadn't she? So is Hannah praying?
It was slow, because she came back many years.
Did she? After that first time with Eli?
I know she
after the first time, she went home and became pregnant.
Okay, so slower or longer? Slower. Which are you going for? Okay, Gillian said quicker. Let's put it there. It depends what your perspective is, doesn't it? Lots of these things. What else we got?
Daniel, Shadrach, and Meshach, and Abednego talk about Nebuchadnezzar's dream. I think they had an answer in one.
Okay, that was a quick one. So, Shadrach, Meshach. Okay, clever clogs. I couldn't remember those. Margaret, you were going to come up with something. Sorry? Gideon with his fleeces. That was a quick turnaround. It's interesting, isn't it, that we're going for the fast ones here. Yeah?
What about Anna in the temple?
She prayed a lifetime. Anna, Anna at the birth of Jesus.
Anna has been praying in the temple for, she's been 24
since
she was 84, so it'll be 60 years.
60 years of prayer after she was widowed, yeah.
But Paul praying for his thorn in his side.
That was, he got, yeah, don't know how quickly he got the answer, no, but let's put it on the slower side. Yeah.
What about the issue between David and Saul? Until the end, eventually becomes king.
Yeah.
I'm sure there was a lot of prayer.
Yeah, let's not infer prayer into the stories. I don't think there was anything explicit there, was there, about prayer? Find it. You be looking up the reference. When you've got the reference, we'll put it in. Sue, and then Helen.
Okay, David praying for his son Absalom,
and
he got the answer of no eventually.
Did he actually pray?
Yeah, because he said, "Oh, my son Absalom, I'll be for
you." Okay, prayer for Absalom. Yeah.
Helen. Thinking about the Israelites in the desert and getting to the promised land.
Yeah, 430 years at least there. Yeah, that's yeah. The Israelites, Exodus. Yeah. What else we got?
Joseph in prison.
Yeah, Joseph in prison. That's another one on the longer side. What else we got?
Lots of the Psalms.
Lots of the Psalms. So. Yeah, that's... Hey, it's answer. You shouldn't have said that, because that's answered her question. She was like, so, David praying for deliverance. Yeah. Yeah. Anything else? And we'll stop in just a moment.
Might be a trick one. What about Jesus praying, Father, forgive them, they know what they know, not what they've done.
Yes, and I wonder what the answer was to that as well. It is a trick one, so answer your question.
Pray for unity.
Yeah.
That's
pray,
the swear one.
Pray for unity. Okay. John said prayer for you. Jesus, prayer for unity. Right, we're going to you're not going to join these stupid people over here, are you, Margaret? I only want sensible suggestions. Yeah.
Jonah.
Jonah prayed when he was in the whale, so I reckon Jonah was a fairly quick turnaround, really. Sorry?
He crossed with God and he wanted God to get rid of Nineveh.
Yeah. So is that slow? Oh, okay. So prayer for Nineveh, prayer against Nineveh, but you can put him in the whale there, so some quick, some slow. Right, we're going to stop there. Let's stop there. We've got the juices going, got the thinking going. This is part of the process of meditation during the course of your life, that you think about the stories and what they apply. And although we laugh about the fact that, oh, well, we're inferring this here, we don't know, but that is precisely the process we go through. We think about, did they pray? How long did they pray? What was it like for David? And I'm often encouraged in the story of David, because the day that he wakes up and the answer to prayer has come in terms of Saul being out of the way was just the same as every other day. He didn't know that today was the day. There was no clue beforehand. It just happened. Okay, so here we are. Let me tell you about... just have a look at this set of questions you've got in front of you. Anybody got a spare copy there? Can I just borrow that one for a moment? You see, these cluster around delay in prayer, and they cluster around the possibility of God's will being revealed. Okay, so praying for stuff out of the will of God. What I want to do here is just to sidestep that issue. Right? Now, let's assume we're a bit beyond praying for a new bike for Christmas. Okay? Now, I know some of us pray for new cars and stuff like that, or better houses and so on, but we know that there are some prayers that we pray where we're flying a kite. Yeah? Maybe I'm the only person who ever does that, but I'm just sort of that fleshly ordinary that I will sometimes do things like that. Lord, I wonder whether you would like me to have... Just in case, I'll pray for this. But then, of course, the kind of things that we really pray for are normally about people, aren't they? So it's about healing, or about a relative who we want to come to God. For those of us who've got older children, there's always something about our children and our grandchildren that we're praying for. And almost when we think of them, there's a little anxiety there. People who are praying for their partners to come to faith. All sorts of things like that. So what I want to do is to shift this issue of the will of God over to one side, because we know that God does not will the death of a sinner. So the presupposition, the presumption, is in favour of seeing an answer to those prayers. Okay? We know that God is in favour of healing. Okay? So the presumption is in favour of healing. We don't ignore the fact that people don't get healed. We don't pretend that that doesn't happen. But we know that God loves to heal people and God loves to save people. So let's go with the big picture and not the exceptions to the rule. Because if you go with the exceptions to the rule, you end up with all sorts of stuff. Now, I've had some input to this. A big email from Helen and Gillian. Secondhand, got your comments, Dave, from the group as well, because I understand. What is it? What scripture were you talking about, Gillian, in that?
Colossians 1.
Yeah, see, she doesn't concentrate in the cell group. Okay, Colossians 1. Okay, caught up with us now. Yeah, you're there. Okay. Okay, Gillian, what comment did you make about prayer?
About, I feel it goes in seasons for me.
Yeah.
And God lays on my heart certain people, and I pray for them regularly, and then
it drifts away.
Drifts away.
How do you know that isn't just getting bored, fed up, or forgetting?
I'd say the drive.
Yeah, the drive goes. I think there are seasons in prayer, aren't there? Mm-hmm. Yeah. I don't know, some of you will have probably found that as a bit of an issue during this period of praying for Open Blue or for growth in the church or for cabaret, things like that. You may well have found that some of these things are easier to pray for than others. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Now, of course, we do have to interpret that, because there are forces that don't want us to pray for these things as well. Now, I've got some verses here to think about, but we'll probably get on to those a little while. Helen brought some stuff, because she actually pointed out that there were sometimes contradictory messages that you got from people. And one of the things she pointed out was that she'd heard from some people that it can be a indication of lack of faith to keep on coming back to God for the same thing. Yeah, that was the... Now, of course, that's a possibility, isn't it? Yeah? But you can make almost any point from the Bible, because it covers so many options. And then, of course, there are other people who say about keeping on praying. Keeping on praying, keeping on praying, keeping on praying. So... That's. Did you want to say any more about that, or that seemed to me? Have I summed up the two issues you're reflecting on? Yeah, those two sort of positions. Anybody like to put a case for saying? I'm not saying it's the only case you can make, but anybody thought this through and say, yeah, I can see this point that it's a good idea to pray for something once and then stop. You ever seen that?
Isn't there a bit where it talks like according to your faith? And sometimes you have a lot of faith for something and you pray once for some the other things, you're not really sure whether you part of the praying consistently is about actually building your faith for something.
Yeah. There's this really provoking... I'm sure that's true. There's this really provoking story. You remember when Jesus came down from the Mount of Transfiguration, that his disciples were standing around and they were getting stick from the locals because a boy with an epileptic disorder, which was identified as a spirit on this occasion, had been brought to Jesus, and they hadn't been able to help him. and
brought disciples
having them to help him. And Jesus said to them, this kind only comes out by prayer. If you read the King James Version, it says and fasting, but where they got that from, nobody's quite sure. Anyway, it says it came out from by prayer. That's what it says in the footnotes. but the thing is that I assume on that occasion they expected it to be one shot. Okay, everyone that Jesus laid his hands on was healed, but then he suddenly says, as well as healing people, there's prayer for sick people. And that was something that only struck me this morning as I was reflecting on that. Okay, I've got about 5 minutes to give you a couple of stories. I'm going to have to identify those on some other on social media or something. Anybody been able to pick up looking at these in what was different between these stories and these stories? Have you got anything out of that? No? Okay, do ponder on that. I haven't. I'm not going to say, think of the answer, but is there anything that these have got in common against those that you're picking up?
These seem to be more sort of emergency situations on the quicker.
Yeah, they seem to be more healing as well, don't they? Mm. Yeah, yeah.
You've got those more relationship based.
Okay.
So you've got.
Yeah. Yeah, more relationship here, healing, emergency over there. Anything else that you'd want to start differentiating?
On these ones, there's an answer, but it's like God's decided the answer will happen at this point in time.
Yeah.
So it's almost like the people you can pray for as much as you like, it's still going to happen on the 5th of February,
19th, whatever. I'd really be interested in getting into that, because that's a complication, isn't it? Because
at the temple, you
know. Yeah. Are these things... If she'd have met up with Eli 2 years before, would Samuel have been 2 years older? You know, that's... And what about Joseph in prison? Now, Joseph, that's one where I think that argument is dead clear there, that there wasn't anything that could be done about that on a particular day. Because even though he'd set it up to have somebody talk about it, to put his case forward, the bloke got out there and forgot immediately. How bad is that?
That was because Joseph was trying to work the situation out. And how much of the slower stuff is not easy to come up with an overall rule, because it's between the individual and God, and how God is taking that person on the journey. So for Joseph, it might have been developing more of his character. And with Abraham and Sarah, maybe it was about really trusting God. Not again, because Abraham tried to do it himself.
Okay. So there are these imponderables there. We don't mind the imponderables as long as nobody tells us we have to believe them. Okay, what we're after is what is clear there. And I think, Helen, that would be my thought about those things that you raised and most of us have had experience of, is where you actually say, yeah, it's fine, that's your opinion. May be helpful, may not be, but it isn't really where the core is. Where the core is that some prayers get answered quickly and some take a long time to get answered. Who's Andy, you over here?
Peter's release thing, there's an element there of huge surprise.
Yeah.
Their background was that James had already been decapitated
in
prison. So they were hugely surprised. So it's almost like they were praying probably for a slower, like Greg saying, they're hoping for a release and he wasn't going to get killed, but actually the date is much earlier.
Yeah.
And then they get surprised.
Yeah, that's an interesting thing. Surprise in prayer as well. Okay, let me talk about a couple of causes of delay. I want you to think about love and faith here, because if I talk about the causes of delay, it's very easy to get very negative. Okay. But we do have to face the fact there is a lot of stuff in the Bible about why things sometimes get delayed. And just after I've been thinking about this love and faith thing, I found myself with thinking about this bit in the Bible. Come and hear, all you who fear the Lord. Let me tell you what he's done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. What's the next line? Anybody? No, actually, it's a bit before that.
No.
It's an and. It's a kind. It's, you know, sort of where you get the addition. Okay, I cried out to the Lord with my mouth, and his praise was on my tongue. Okay? Now, loads and loads of times, really key to actually get a hold of this, that part of the reason we praise God, it's not the primary reason, the reason we praise God is because he is worth praising. But one of the reasons why we praise God, particularly when we're facing difficult circumstances, is because it reminds us of who God is and what he is like. That was why it was important for us to sing for a bit this morning when we were praying for Daniel. Because when you're looking at a young woman who's sitting there in tears because of a burning pain from eczema and know that it's just going on and on and everything seems to compound it, you think, oh dear. And you get sucked into sympathy. Now, sympathy is not bad, but it's dodgy because it doesn't focus you on the goodness of God, the power of God, and what he wants to do. And I'm just going to mention one other thing. Now, go on. That verse. I haven't finished reading yet. Psalm 66. Keep going. Now, this is the negative bit. So, I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. And it says, if I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would have not heard me. Okay? So, that can be a barrier to God hearing us when we pray. If we're saying, I'm going to do things my way, or I am not changing, but God hear my prayer, you are asking for trouble. Right? So it does actually say that. It said, but God surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. Love is always an issue with prayer. And we have to watch that we don't think that just because we're not getting what we want, that God doesn't love us. It's a natural response and one we have to take head on. Now, the other thing I just want to read to you, and then we're going to sing the song, is this. No, I will start with this one next week because we will not do it properly. This is a bit in the Bible that I think I'm right in saying that it annoyed Andy when we talked about it. I'll check that this is right, but it was actually, there are many things that annoy Andy from time to time, but this was a bit in the Bible that annoyed him. And when you read the story, I think you'll probably agree with it and understand. Can you just read the words of the first the verse through, so to remind people of this? And we're going to pray after we've sung it a couple of times, yes?
Okay, so it might say, everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing, let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a saviour, the hope of nations.
And then it goes into saviour.
He can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, he rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
And show... Yeah. Shall we just go back to the beginning? Otherwise, we'll after that. So if we do the first stanza and the refrain, yeah? And we do it through a few times. And what we're going to do is we're going to address the prayers we would have put on our list over here as we're thinking about this. The things that you've got delays on. Now, interestingly, most of the things that we've got delays on would be quite difficult to talk about in public. Really interesting. You know, things that touch us most deeply, it would be really difficult. And we're all waiting for the day of resolution when we might be able to tell some of the story, at least. Yeah? So, yeah, that's an interesting thing. But, yeah. Okay, let's sing. Lead us, will you? Okay, choose a key, any key. Jill, why don't you start with Saviour Who Can Move the Mountains, come back to the verse, it's probably the easy way. Yeah, go on then, wherever you want to go, you're the music man.